Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in everybody to Sports Daily. Glad to have you here with us on this Tuesday edition. Hope everybody survived yesterday. Luckily, kind of avoided the metro with some of that severe weather. And a lot of people around us, took a little damage, but we survived it, Tommy. Not quite as bad as we had feared, and that's always great news. Glad to see everybody back here safely. We're all standing strong as we make our way through this week. Major League Baseball, we'll talk a little Kansas City Royals. Last night, you get the ace on the mound, and you get the outcome that you'd like against a good team in the Brewers. We've got that for you. Just some stories sort of spread out all over the place today. New reporting on Kirk Cousins and sort of some, I don't know if you want to call it karma or irony involved in his decision to leave the Vikings. We'll get into that. Deion Sanders has been in the news a ton. Shadur looks like a top prospect. Just how good a prospect is he? One evaluator apparently thinks he would have been the top quarterback if he'd come out in this year's draft. So we'll get into that a little bit as well. Shohei Ohtani is a stud. We knew that. The Timberwolves, well, we were maybe a little wrong about that series. Timberwolves have been dominant in the series so far against the defending champion Nuggets, which I feel great. You know, there's a lot of long-suffering Minnesota sports fans who haven't had a championship of any kind. Like ever, it feels like. So that's a pretty cool thing that's happening, too. We can get in some Chiefs talk. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Looking forward to jumping right into it today. The Royals game was fun to watch. I kind of had one eye on it, one eye on the weather last night, just trying to make sure that, you know, everything was good. But, man, good game for Kansas City. Looking forward to talking about that and to getting into it today.
All right, so we've got that for you. It's all available on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. You can do that. We'll give away a little HTO later in the show as well, some tea and coffee. Lots of good stuff to get to. That weather, Tommy, you're a weather guy. You know, you're a weather junkie. How was last night for you?
It was fine. You know, it was probably right around 5 o'clock, 5:30 or so that – you know, you start to get a little nervous about what is to come. And then, man, I'm not a meteorologist, but it just kind of looked like everything kind of split Wichita. Went to the north, went to the south. Our neighbors down in Oklahoma, down to the south, they weren't as fortunate as we were. There were some major, major tornadoes that went through northern Oklahoma last night after dark. That makes it even worse. Pretty fortunate, I feel like, today that this part of the state really kind of escaped unscathed.
Well, you know, these days are strange. It's not so. We talked to, you know, the meteorologists are scientists, right? And there are just mega powerful computer systems, several of them, that try to project this stuff out, the models. And sometimes the models disagree. And then the meteorologists take all that information and try to, you know, give us as much information as they can on what's possible, really, as much as anything else. Storms are always unpredictable. So the way I understand it from our crew is those models yesterday all agreed that yesterday was going to be really bad. And that doesn't happen that
often. That's you get that pink on those maps you see, which also doesn't happen all that often. And I think you saw to the north of us and to the south of us,
they were intense. We had lots of tornado warnings. We had, you know, just really devastating damage to the south of us. And, you know, I guess thank the keeper of the plains for splitting that storm right around Wichita. It happens. It's, you know, that's kind of the old running joke is that the keeper, you know, splits that and sends it around the Wichita metro area. But of course, Andover's been hit in recent years. So we got lucky yesterday, you know, count our blessings a little bit there. And hopefully the folks that did get affected can pick up the pieces and we'll just, you know, we'll stay on it. It looks like we got some clear weather. It's been an active couple of weeks, man. We've had, gosh, we had two tornadoes at least last week. Somebody was killed by a tornado. So it's been an active severe weather season. So, you know, just stay tuned and bear with the folks trying to keep you safe. It's all they're trying to do is take the information and get it to you to help you be prepared and not get into a situation that you're caught off guard. I appreciate all the storm chasers, all the meteorologists, everybody who's out there trying to keep us safe during that. Mention that IHOP hotline, by the way. It's, you know, we're glad to have the IHOP hotline, of course. It's brought to you by IHOP. You can visit IHOP. Try the new IF movie-inspired menu flavor items like Blue's Dazzleberry Pancakes. Dazzleberry Pancakes, if you'd like. So you can call into that IHOP hotline at 869-1240. You can also leave us your comments on our video stream, which you'll see on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can find all those. It's not retweeting. We've reposted that video stream for you on X, so you can find that. A lot of people take in the show that way. A lot of people stream the show. We get it. You're not in your car all the time. We have all kinds of different ways to listen to the show. If you are in your car and you want to take us with you inside, you just go to kfhradio.com or you can pull up that video stream. The Royals last night, Tommy, we can start there. You know, that's exactly what you want to see against a team like the Brewers. Well pitched, well played, well defended, all those things. Game where they come out with a 3-2 win. Cole Reagans continues to lengthen his starts a little bit. Goes six innings again. He is back into a groove here. Just two runs allowed. Not a lot of traffic for him yesterday. That's, you know, that's a big thing for him too. Two hits allowed, two walks. That's it. And eight strikeouts. So, you know, every time out now, he's getting just a little bit better. You got offensive production down later in the lineup that really helped, but it was a Michael Garcia game. That was a really nice, clean, tidy bullpen was good after a couple of rough outings game that you could feel really good about if you're the Royals. I say really good. Chris Stratton walked two guys at the end of the game, but he got through it. So maybe not quite as clean as we'd like, but that was a good game. That was a good game.
Well, and I'm waiting for you to finally give some more credit to Michael Massey. I mean, this guy, since coming off the injured list, you know, he hasn't been super consistent, but he did hit his third home run of the year last night to cut that Brewers lead in half, and then Michael Garcia able to give the Royals the lead with the two-run single. So, you know, offensively, it wasn't a lot, but the Royals have shown that they don't need a lot of offense typically to be able to win baseball games. You go through their entire record so far, game by game, there have been a ton of games. I mean, I think close to 20 games where they have given up fewer than two runs, two or fewer. And I believe they're 16-2 in those 18 games that they've done that. So the pitching has been, you know, I would say borderline elite for the most part, outside of some outliers. And then the bullpen, again, was solid last night as well. I think what makes that game great for Kansas City, and I mentioned it yesterday before the series started, that I was probably more interested and excited in this series against the Brewers than I was the Rangers series last weekend, mainly because of who was going to be throwing for the Royals over the next, you know, couple of games against Milwaukee. And I think that, you know, what definitely shows how important that game was and how, the way this Royals team is built is the fact that they fell down early and then had a comeback and held on to the lead to win the game. To me, and I think you used the words kind of like an early season look at what a playoff game might be for Kansas City, I wholeheartedly agree with that because it was nail-biting, you know, towards the end of that game, kind of edge-of-your-seat baseball game in early May, which we don't get very often, and we especially don't get when it comes to the Royals in the last several years. So that was a big-time win, probably as big of a win as you've had all season long for Kansas City. And so now you've got a couple more games, you know, to go tonight and tomorrow night where they've got a chance to, you know, first off, take the series tonight, and then, you know, if they can get through tonight, then, you know, look at tomorrow.
It was the right kind of win. You mentioned Massey. And look, Massey, I hope he's awesome. He's hitting right in the middle of the lineup right now, and he's been very handy. That would be another, kind of like Michael Garcia, that would be a huge and fantastic development if he keeps it up. I hope he does. That would add a ton to the lineup. But it's been about the pitching. I'm looking right now, and in Major League Baseball, the Royals sit fifth in starter ERA. Which is great. We're now, you know, Tommy, over 200 innings pitched by the starting rotations generally across baseball or right around it. And the Royals sit with the fifth best ERA in all of baseball. The metrics, they're good. You know, the opponent average is low. The whip is low. Everything they're doing right now is good. And so that's going to be the key to everything. It's been the reason, quite frankly, the last few years that they have been irrelevant is because they've had almost no starting pitching. And now all of a sudden, they've got some of the best starting pitching in all of baseball. And the reason that, you know, that might feel unsustainable just because how bad it's been, I get it. But the reason it's been so good, three of these players, and Waka hasn't even been great, they weren't a part of the past, right? You've got Cole Reagans, who came over halfway through last year. Seth Lugo came over in the offseason. You know, Alec Marsh has been a part of that, kind of welcome to the party, and Brady Singer has been the other one who's, you know, we've seen flashes, but it does feel sustainable. And if it is, then they're going to be right in the mix, because if you can pitch like that, the Rays have taught us for years that you're going to be there in the end. And so, yeah, you see little things within these games that make you feel good. And when Reagans goes out and does that, it looks like that was a rough couple of game stretches. And well, now in the rear view, he had three great starts since then.
Yeah.
I think it's been
two against Toronto and then the one last night.
So we're in good shape. And now Lugo goes tonight. And this is what's going to make the Royals really fun, because you can put those two together. And if you face both of those guys in a series and you're the opposition, man, it's like we're gonna struggle to win this series. The Rangers broadcast crew, because I was watching the weekend games, I don't remember which day it was, but they were pointing out the good fortune of not catching Reagans or Lugo in that series. And, you know, like the other teams are paying attention. Like when you get lucky in the schedule like that, that's a big deal. And so good for the Royals. It's looking good. The bullpen was better, still not perfect, but better.
Well, the bullpen gave up one hit, you know, one hit in three.
Right,
innings.
Right. The three walks in two innings, kind of between Duffy and Stratton, that'll get you in trouble. That'll kill you.
Can I say, though, it was good to see Will Smith come in and pitch two-thirds of an inning and have a clean two-thirds of an inning. That had been a struggle. And, you know, as soon as he came out, I thought, I mean, I understand MacArthur struggled on Sunday against the Rangers. And I understand that, you know, it was not going to be a situation where we would probably see him, you know, due to rest. Then Will Smith comes out and I'm like, oh man, like that just kind of makes you nervous when, you know, Will Smith is coming out in a high leverage situation, because hasn't seemed to have had it like he had it in the past in his career. And he pitched a clean two-thirds of an inning. And that's something that, you know, I think you want to see from him, because while he may not be the dominant closer, was he ever really a dominant closer? No. But, you know, at least being able to be competent for the most part in high-leverage situations. I know when he pitched for Atlanta, he was in that way. I don't think he was quite as much with the Rangers when he pitched for your team.
He helped him win a World Series.
Yeah.
But it's... you have to know what he is. And it took him a minute. And there was a portion of last year they didn't have a choice but to run him out there. They were literally they didn't have anything. And so he was the best of what they had, which was unfair to him. And then they bolstered the bullpen at the trade deadline. He slid into a more reasonable role for his skill set. Look, he's a lefty out of the pen. And he knows what he's doing, and he's crafty, and he's a veteran. Those guys always have a place in Major League Baseball. And he may even be a little more than that when put into the right situation. And I think they've figured out his situation. I don't have a problem. What we saw last night from him, I think, is where they need him the most. Like, uh-oh, we're in a little bit of a jam here. Let's see if he can Houdini our way out of it. Right. And that's what he did. And that means, you know, weird sort of innings and, you know, whatever it is, it's never going to be consistent for him. And that's fine. I think that's where he's best suited for this team. I like that he's on this team. I just immediately was like, he is not going to be the closer. There's no way. We've seen that story before. And they pivoted, and it's been, you know, more or less okay. And you know what else they need, Tommy? When they're not winning a game and they're behind, they're going to need somebody to come in and just sort of eat it. And he can do that too. And they may need some of that too.
It was good to see Nick Anderson, you know, come in out of the pen and have a clean inning also. Those were probably the two guys that, you know, we looked at the most at the very beginning of the season as disappointments in the bullpen. Doesn't mean that long term, you know, they're going to be able to be effective, but at least in that small sample size last night, both of them were. It does show in a critical juncture like that, when the Royals are able to come back from behind, take the lead, and then have those bullpen pieces hang on to the lead, it does show, I think, the trust that Matt Quatrero still has in those guys. And that's important. I think it's important to know that because, you know, it's very easy for you and I, or for the fan base, to just toss those guys out with the garbage after the struggles they had at the very beginning of the season. But Quatrero looks at them as, okay, we have to have them. We have to have them as key pieces of our bullpen if we want to make the playoffs. And both Anderson and Smith had really clean and solid outings last night.
Here's what's interesting about Anderson. 14 appearances this year. 12 of those appearances, as far as, you know, runs, have been clean. He's had two really bad ones. Right, two where it's just gone really sideways on him. Otherwise, he's been pretty clean. In his last nine, Tommy, he's gone an inning in all of those outings. In his last nine, hadn't given up a run in any of them. Now, he can get too much out there on the bases, and that obviously makes it to where I don't know if his role is ever going to be like your, you know, the Ned Yost days of like you give this guy the seventh or eighth or ninth or anything like that.
Yeah.
But at least he's effective because he does allow a little too much traffic for that. But at the end of the day, the innings have been clean for a while now. So, yeah, you like it. Again, all those pieces matter. They only need three of these guys to be lights out electric strikeout artists. The rest of them just have to be able to navigate a storm when necessary. And hopefully, because the starting pitching is really good, it doesn't have to be that often. Right? It doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't, you know, it all starts with starting pitching in Major League Baseball. Do the Royals have enough offense? Well, you know what? Massey makes a hand. It's good to see Massey and Garcia as the two guys last night because those are two guys we don't know about completely. But if they're both, you know, good, I guess we could use the word good. Now you're looking at a top six in your order you really like. And you've just got to get the outfield.
It's all that you need from them. I do think, and I saw some social media chatter about this last night after the game, and I'm not opposed to this. I don't know if I want to pull the trigger on it right now. Maybe give it a little bit more time. But a lot of support for swapping Salvi and Pasquantino in the lineup and having Salvi hit third and Pasquantino hit cleanup. And, you know, Pasquantino, he's got to be a key contributor offensively, and we've seen flashes of that, but there's nowhere near the consistency, I think, offensively that we need to see from him. And so because of that, I think pitchers know that. They know they can pitch around Bobby Witt Jr. They can go right at Pasquantino and then pitch around Salvi. So I think, you know, some of the support behind that is if you flip-flop them in the lineup, then you've got a 1-2 punch of Witt and Salvi to where you can't get away with pitching around Salvi. You got to go right at him, just basically because of, the protection that you've got.
So it's what's interesting to me about the Royals and this offense is because of the two players that are in MVP consideration. You'd like to put them together. I get it. Who is going to get on base the most? I almost think the top of the lineup could use a little bit of a change. Mikel Garcia, to me, isn't getting on base nearly often enough, and I get why you don't want to lead off Bobby Witt. I wouldn't hate seeing Bobby Witt Jr. lead off. Massey's not getting on at a tremendous pace. Maybe he could get out there. Pascantino's getting on at a higher pace than both of those guys because he walks. And it makes me wonder, where is it? If it's not Pascantino in the middle, I don't know. Let's talk about that because I think it is curious. I do think they need an on-base artist. When you've got Bobby Witt Jr. behind them, they just need whoever the best player. And it's a wild idea. Lead off Vinny Pascantino. If what he does is just get on base and he's not driving guys in and using the power, he still walks a ton. Let him hit lead off, and then you go Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, and you just kind of let those three go at it. I don't think it's a terrible idea. Let's talk about it a little bit here, since it's being chatted about on social media. Sports Daily. Get in touch with us on the program. We always appreciate, by the way, mornings at KFH, our Prairie Fire Coffee partnership there, as they get us all fueled up and ready to go each and every day. We'll come back. Your thoughts, Royals fans, where you at? We got some comments to get to on that. And also the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. Albrecht and Castor at Sports Daily on a Tuesday.
.975 and 1240 KFH. It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Programming note for you here. Wichita State coaches shows are tonight. They were rescheduled, the threat of severe weather, last night. So those will actually happen tonight. You've got Brian Green at 6 o'clock, followed at 7 by Christy Breadbinner. And you can hear those on the Odyssey app. Then we'll join the Royals in progress at 8 o'clock. So stay tuned for all of that here on Sports Daily. All right, we're pondering this Royals lineup. And I think that I'm okay still with the way it's lined up. Mikel Garcia has hit at the top pretty much all year. We've seen it be pretty much what it is at the top. I agree with the masses that maybe there is a way to better capitalize on the greatness so far of Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. I think you could lead off Bobby Witt Jr., but then do you bat Salvador Perez second? I think that's an option. I really do. You get him the most at bats that way. That combination has been lethal with getting Bobby Witt Jr. on, letting him steal bases, do all those things. So that's an option. I honestly, though, Tommy, and you won't hear a ton about this, and I get it. Vinny Pascantino, if you're going to move him around, putting him at the top to me does make some sense, right? Only because he walks so much, he gets on base a ton. Michael Massey's been good. Maybe you can slide him up a little bit just because he's hot right now. But what about a line? And then you can, Mikel Garcia to me it's his pop that is appealing to me. Like, make him like a five-hole hitter. I don't know. What would you think of Pascantino, Witt, Perez, Garcia, Massey after those guys?
I think I would still prefer going Bobby Witt Jr. leading off. He's got the speed. He's got the power. And then I'd be okay with Salvi in the two spot. Then you probably, I don't know. Maybe
you can go anywhere that way.
Yeah, you could go at that point. You could probably go Massey 3, Pascantino 4, or Pascantino 4, Mikel Garcia. I don't know. You could kind of move that around. But I like the thought of Bobby Witt Jr. at 1 and Salvi at 2. Look at some of the top lineups in Major League Baseball right now. The Braves, for example, they go with power and speed right off the top with Ronald Acuna Jr. The Dodgers go with power and speed right off the top with Mookie Betts. The Rangers go power and speed off the top with Marcus Semien. These teams are doing it now where it's changed over the last several years, where instead of just a guy that gets on base and can steal bases to start off, you know, the lineup and lead off, now they're trying to, you know, teams are getting some power at the very, very top of the lineup. It's happened with several teams over the last couple of years, continues today. I'm okay with Bobby Witt Jr. leading off. I think that's probably your best bet, because at that point, like, to start off a game right away, the opposing pitcher has no room to get settled in. Like, from the top, they've got a guy that they know can take them out of the ballpark right away. So I'd be okay with that. And I think I'd be okay with Salvi in the two hole.
I like it. And yeah, it's a modern look at baseball. Basically, just get your best players the most at bats you can possibly get them. And both of those guys profile just fine that way. I've had a hard time with it over the years too, like rewiring my brain. Like, gotta have power in the middle of the lineup. For one inning, is that relevant? One, usually, right? One time through the lineup, does that ever go the way you'd like it to? I think what's more important is, you know, who gets on base the most often and who's the most likely to get them in. That's why you'd go with Salvi, right? I would even, you know, I think there's even some, the problem for Pasquantino is he's not slugging at all, but he's getting on base. So I'd probably put him third and try to sort of reset things a little bit. And then you can follow him up with one of the other guys, probably Massey at that point. I like moving Garcia down. I just need, when Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez are coming up, I need the ability for those guys to drive people in. And I know Bobby Witt Jr. can't drive anybody in if he's leading off the game. But again, that's only relevant one time through. I want him to have the most at bats. And I'd like Salvador Perez to be guaranteed, if he gets on base, the opportunity to drive him in. And that's what you do by putting those two players together. You know, anytime Bobby Witt Jr. is on base, if they're batting back-to-back, Salvador Perez has the opportunity to drive him in. And I do think that makes sense. Wherever it comes in the lineup, whether it's 2-3, 1-2, 3-4, I don't care where it is.
I think you have to put them together. And the only thing that would change that would be, you know, if you get to a point to where Vinny Pasquantino consistently is starting to drive that offense a little bit more, get on base, drive in runs, that sort of thing. It's not that he can't do it. He absolutely can. He's just not doing it consistently. And so, you know, if that changes, and that's why I said I don't know if I'm totally ready to make that change right now as far as flip-flopping Pasquantino and Salvi in the lineup. I'd maybe give it another week or two. But if you're continuing to see Pasquantino not consistently hit, then at that point I'd be okay, because all that's going to end up doing is making the at-bats that much more difficult for Salvador Perez, because, you know, pitchers know that they can pitch to Pasquantino and pitch around Salvi. So, you know, if this continues for any more length of time, then at that point, yeah, I'd be certainly an advocate for switching those two in the lineup.
And Quattraro, you know, there is also credence to letting guys work through it. And I'm fine with that too, especially when it's a player with the upside like Pasquantino. You know, you don't want to ever make it seem like you're losing confidence in a player. Pasquantino's a little strange too, because, right, we didn't get to see him at all last year. So really, we're just kind of going off that first year's explosion of success. He's doing a lot of things, though. I'm not tremendously worried about him, just in a bigger picture, because he's walking more than he's striking out. That always makes me feel better. And I think as long as he's doing that, he's going to be okay. I mean, are we really worried that Vinny Pasquantino doesn't have power? Look at the guy. He's got power. He'll slug at some point. He's remaining patient at the plate. And I think for a guy like him, a young player, that's all you can hope for. You know, you, if you're patient at the plate, and Bobby Witt Jr. still strikes out too much. But what do you think the biggest development? We talked about this for a long time on this show as he was a young player. What do you think the biggest development in his game is? Right? His ability to draw a walk.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's like the last thing great young players do. They get patient. They learn that in, you know, in the big leagues, you better only swing at the pitches that are strikes or you'll never do anything. And so they develop patience. Bobby Witt Jr. is still now only developing that. Vinny Pascantino has no issue there, which is why I think he has staying power in this league, which is why I don't worry too much about him, because his power is there, right? But he walks still a ton, more than he strikes out. Is he the only guy on this team? I think he might be, that walks more than he strikes out. Let me double check that. He is the only player on the team that walks more than he strikes out. That's valuable, right? Where is the best value for it? I'm not sure. I love the idea of getting him on base and then taking two swings at driving him in with Witt and Salvi. I think it's an option, letting him lead off. But is it the best option? I don't know. Witt Salvi's probably the best option, but I think they're both interesting options. And I wonder how long Cotrero's going to stick with the current configuration of the lineup.
I don't think you need to make a rash decision right now.
No, but I don't like Mikel Garcia at the top. I don't like Mikel Garcia at the top more than I don't like Pascantino splitting.
Do you see Mikel Garcia as a middle of the lineup guy or a bottom of the lineup
guy? I think so because he's interesting because his power is, I think, what surprises us to some degree. He strikes out way too much for me at the top of the lineup. Like, if you're going to have Bobby Witt Jr. up there and deal with his strikeouts, which obviously you are, I can't have two of those guys up there like that. So, like, I think you could put him in the middle of the lineup because it's that random surge of power that's his most valuable asset, I think, offensively. So, yeah, that's where he doesn't get on base much. So I'd rather give him a chance to drive guys in than lead things off. So yeah, middle of the lineup probably. So five hole?
Yeah.
My ideal lineup's probably Bobby Witt. Well, see, this is why I like Pascantino. I might like Pascantino at the top better, because what do you do at the three hole?
So I think that brings up a really good question, because it goes back to our conversations that we've had several times about the Royals' need for one more bat, mm-hmm. and especially in the outfield.
A veteran
outfield bat. Because, you know, if you're looking at that lineup and you're going through, you know, from top to bottom, all of your outfielders are at the bottom of the lineup. I mean, you've kind of got them all, like, lumped in together. Take last night, for example. Outside of Adam Frazier, who played DH, who has not been good at all offensively for Kansas City. Would you have Hunter Renfroe batting sixth, MJ Melendez batting seventh, and Blanco batting ninth? You know, so you've got all your outfielders lumped in at the bottom of the lineup. Even if Adam Frazier starts in the outfield, he's going to bat lower in the lineup. Or if Garrett Hampson gets into the starting lineup, he's going to bat lower in the lineup. You don't have a veteran. And I don't even care how big of a veteran they are. You don't have an outfield bat that can be at the, you know, near the top of the lineup to spread that out a little bit more. So, you know, as we're going through this and we're like, well, man, who's gonna bat in the three hole if they change this lineup? Wouldn't it be nice if you had an outfielder that you could just know you've got him penciled in? Like, I think if somebody, I don't even know, like, there are a handful of names that are out there that I think could be
exactly what you hoped Hunter Renfroe was going to be. I mean, that's the reality. The reality is they hoped Renfroe would be that guy. You need somebody that you
like somebody. What like, you I mean, need, I know that he struck out a ton, but you know, this would be a situation where might not be the worst thing in the world to have Carlos Santana back in that lineup. You know what I mean? Like
somebody that
can hit for power, that can be in the middle of your lineup.
It may still be the best place for Pascantino, honestly, long term. I think he profiles as a three-hole hitter really well, but he's got to be slugging a little better than he's slugging right now, I think, to put him in there. I don't think long term. I think long term, your perfect lineup is Witt one, and then, you know, whether you put Salvi two or Pascantino two, and then three. That's your ideal top three. To me, but while Pascantino works through it, why not take advantage of his tremendous eye and just put him at the top And then you go Witt, Salvi. And so Salvi's now your three-hole hitter. But long-term, I don't know that that's what you want to do. But I don't hate that long-term. Again, you have to rewire your brain a little bit because we always think of speed and speed only at the top. And yeah, it's important. The one thing you don't want to do is not let Bobby Witt Jr. run wild. So, you know, him at the top, he can run as wild as he wants. I think that by the end of the season, you'll see Bobby Witt Jr. leading off in either Salvi or Pasquantino in 2-3. I think that's what's going to happen. Now, I don't know what's holding them back from doing that. I really don't. Like, I don't know why Bobby Witt Jr. is not leading off, but it's not Garcia for me. He's not on base enough. Pasquantino is still handy. You could put Pasquantino third right now and you'd be fine, again, because he's got a good eye, because he's not going to kill you. Usually.
Well, he is third in the lineup right now. That's where they've got Pasquantino.
You know what I mean, though, but not with Salvi, not in the current configuration.
Yeah.
Like, if you've got Salvi slid up, then that's fine.
I think that's the end result of this conversation. Right now, with the way that their offense is built, I don't necessarily care right now where they fall in the lineup. I just think that eventually you've got to swap Salvi and Pasquantino's order. I think that, you know, whether it's 2-3 or 3-4, it doesn't particularly matter to me right this second. I think maybe over the next week or two, there'll be more clarity on that. But as of now, I think that you need to get Salvi right behind Bobby Witt Jr. to get a little bit more protection. I think you're going to get more ultimate output from the offense if you do it that way.
Pasquantino steals protection. I want Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez hitting together, and I want Bobby Witt Jr. at the top of the lineup. Let's just get there. Because Bobby Witt Jr. getting on, stealing second, and letting Salvi take a chance to drive him in is too appetizing to me right now. I don't think Garcia is helping you much at all at the top of the lineup. It's pretty much, can he hit you a leadoff home run or bust right now? I think he needs to go down. I think that's the bigger hole in their lineup than Pasquantino right now, is him at the top. So, and I like him. Don't misunderstand. I like Michael Garcia. I think he's a big part of what they do. I just think he needs to be thought of now more as a run producer than a run scorer, maybe. If that makes any sense. 869-1240 is the number to call. You can give us a call. What do you think, Royals fans? Let us know. We'll come back. We'll hit some of the other news and notes. There are some interesting stories out there today. Shedeur Sanders in the news. Kirk Cousins in the news. Shohei, are you watching what Shohei Ohtani's doing this year? He's no longer in the American League.
They played the Braves over the weekend and swept him.
It's pretty wild. Yeah, I'm watching what he's doing. It's like Bobby Witt Jr. on steroids, quite frankly. Without the defense, obviously. But, man, he is just wild. We'll be right back. More Sports Daily.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily on a Tuesday. Glad to be here with you. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. I appreciate Crestview's support. You can give them a call. Learn about all their memberships, all the different things they have. It's not just about the golf. Let them know we sent you. It's not just about the golf, Tommy, because we use it all the time and I haven't even played golf yet. A lot of tennis for my wife. She is up there doing tennis 2-3 times a week usually. We will be living at that pool soon enough, you know, as often as we can. And then, you know, we cruise over to the restaurant because we're nearby and it's convenient. But we'll golf soon, but lots of options. They have the just like with the, they have memberships that don't even include the golf, that are just all the other stuff, basically. So learn about all those things over at Crestview. Give them a call. And again, let them know we sent you.
Beautiful days, by the way, coming up here in the next, five or six days to be able to try to get out and maybe play some golf. So you ought to check your calendar and see what things look like, because I was looking at like the 7-day forecast, and once we got through yesterday, it looks beautiful to get out there and try to play some golf.
There might be some opportunities coming up here over the next 7 for me to get that first one in. Yeah. I need to get to the range first, or maybe not.
Nah,
maybe
you
just go at it cold.
Just go out there.
Maybe
and
I just go at it cold.
Just start hacking.
I might do that this week. I've got my wife's out of town, and so I've got Mr. Dad duties a couple of days, so I will be a little more free because I have to deal with the kids. Oh, later this week. So yeah, maybe later this week, try to get out there. I'll ponder these things. We're going to get it. Bill Self talked to, was it Andy Katz yesterday? He's kind of been making a little bit of a tour. A couple of things out of there that we'll get into in the next hour as we make our way through that we can touch on. I think Tommy has listened to more of that than I have. I've caught just a couple of snippets. So we'll get, we'll catch the latest there. I want to talk about Shohei Ohtani and what he's doing lately. But, you know, he's reached this point. Tommy's hitting 364 right now, stealing bases. I mean, nobody's ever going to win an MVP ever again. Even if he's just a hitter this year, he's probably going to win the MVP. But whatever, we'll get into that a little bit. Shedeur Sanders in the news, Kirk Cousins in the news. So a lot to get to in our second hour. We spent a lot of time on the Royals today, which is great. I love the fact that it is May 7th and we are spending that much time on the Royals. That makes for a better summer. We'll do all of it. On the way out here, let's give away a little HTO. We'll give away two free iced tea cards. These will be good for either Wichita location in East or West Wichita or in Derby. Get your hands on a couple of those by calling in to the IHOP hotline right now at 869-1240. Chad will get us a winner as we make our way through. But we are locked and loaded here for Sports Daily on a Tuesday. Again, quick programming note while we have the contest there. The coaches shows for Wichita State that were supposed to be last night, Shocker fans, have been rescheduled to tonight. So you'll have the baseball coaches show at 6 o'clock, followed by the softball show at 7 o'clock with Christy Breadbinner and Brian Green. Then you'll have the Royals. Softball does start that AAC tournament, and it's in Wichita. So I'm sure there's a lot of good information to get out there. That got pushed back a day with yesterday's weather, again, that we're very, very thankful. Did not strike the metro. Thank the keeper for that, I suppose. That's the old. How long has that rumor been around, Tommy, by the way?
I mean, I'm sure probably since the
beginning
of
time.
Since it's been up and since the river's been right there. I've always heard, I mean, I grew up here. I always heard that the Arkansas River kind of directs, tornadoes away from the heart of Wichita. I mean, that's all probably an urban legend. But, I mean, hey, like
anything
you can hang on to, you know, yeah, try to feel better about these things. That's what we'll do. So I do feel obviously terrible for the towns in Oklahoma. Barnesdale, Oklahoma was one that's out by Bartlesville, right across the Kansas-Oklahoma border. Just pictures out of there from last night.
Yep.
Just devastating. So,
I
feel very fortunate that a lot of this stuff didn't come through the Wichita Metro.
All right, good luck on the contest. We're going to come back. We're going to get you hour number two. We can start a little bit maybe with Bill Self and what he had to say. The roster may not be quite what we think it is. We'll explain when we return on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two of Sports Daily. Thanks for tuning in on KFH. Thanks for listening in on our stream at kfhradio.com, perhaps the Odyssey app. Maybe you're listening to us from the future, and this is a podcasted form. Always a great way to take in the show. And thanks for watching our video stream, new and improved. Tommy's done a great job making that thing look nice and fancy. We're growing that thing a pretty great deal. Share that if you see it out on social media. Maybe you're on X and you want to invite other people to the show. That's easy. Share it. We're reaching new heights with our video stream. So we always appreciate everybody tuning in and watching, listening, whatever it is. Your appreciation is ours. Benny wins our HTO iced tea cards today, our giveaway there. Congratulations to Benny. Maybe give those to a teacher you love, Benny, since you've got two of them as we're coming into Teacher Appreciation Week. Good moment, by the way. Thanks, teachers, for another great school year. I know we got a couple of weeks left, but it is always a good time to appreciate the teachers out there. Thank you so much. Tommy, I want to get your take. So Bill Self just did an interview with Andy Katz. It's nothing earth-shattering. He's just kind of out there publicly. I know he was on with Bob and Jeff here recently. You can go back and listen to that, by the way, as well at kfhradio.com. But for me, there were some roster notes. What were the big takeaways here? Because in the severe weather madness of yesterday, I did not have time to go in and listen to that entire conversation.
Yeah, there were two. I think the biggest one was that Bill Self saying that probably Johnny Furphy is going to stay in the NBA draft. And I think that that's something that we all sort of maybe thought was going to be the case. Didn't really have any, you know, for sure definite answers. I think Bill Self effectively closing the door on that. I guess anything could happen. But it sounded like in his interview with Andy Katz that Furphy is projected to be in the first round, drafted in the NBA, and that more than likely he will stay in the draft. And I think that really, you know, and we've talked about it before, even if he wasn't a first round draft pick, the fact that he can't earn NIL dollars because he's from Australia, I think that probably plays a large role in this as well. So that was one big takeaway. The other big takeaway, Riley Kugel, who was the first transfer portal player to be announced by Kansas to come to the squad for next year. Bill Self says it's up in the air on whether or not he will actually be in Lawrence or not. And so those were probably the two big takeaways from that interview.
That tells me that he's probably not going to be in Lawrence, right? I think, and I say that and kind of laugh because it's, I think, a part of, this is why players love Bill Self. I think he's probably trying to do Kugel a solid here and sort of maybe generate a little buzz for him to find another spot because Bill Self knows, like we've all wondered, like, how does he fit in now anyway with Storrs and some of the other guys that they brought in and the return of the freshmen? They have I'm going to duck when I say this after the last season we just watched. They have too many good players right now. And not – I don't
you
mean
can
that.
Never you can never have too many good players.
No, I know, but what they have room for, if the freshmen are going to stay, you still want to have the ability for those young players to get playing time between, you know, McDowell and El Marco coming back and the freshmen incoming. Like, you'd still like to see, these are elite prospects, much bigger prospects than Kugel was, you know, when he was coming in. So I would still like those players to have opportunities to grow and play and not get smothered out by older, experienced players. So I don't want to say they have too many good players in that sense, but if you're going to try to get those guys in the mix, then you kind of do have too many. And I don't, you know, the depth became an issue last year because Kevin McCullough got hurt, because Artario Morris never played for KU, and because Hunter Dickinson got hobbled toward the end of the year. The depth was sort of in. Oh, and by the way, Nick Timberlake did not turn into anything like they had hoped. So you had this perfect storm of bad things happening, and then all of a sudden you don't have any depth, right? I'll duck when I say that. If Kugel goes, I think it's the best thing for Kugel for sure. And I'm not so sure, Tommy, it's not the best thing for KU, because I think what's more important to KU than that particular player, you know, being a role player, is the hopeful continued development of either the sophomores or then the now freshmen coming in. Also, they need another big man, so maybe they need scholarship room. Bill Self's calculated in this. Don't think that he's not. I think absolutely he would like to help Kugel find a different place to play, would be my guess.
And what I know about Kugel, and this has been speculated for a while, I don't have any confirmation on this, so take it with a grain of salt, but what I've heard from a handful of people is that partially some of this with Riley Kugel is an academic holdup where transfer credits are not, you know, transferring in the right way, that sort of thing. So I don't exactly know, you know, really what the full story is. It sounds like, and again, from what I've heard, that he wants to be in Lawrence, but I wonder if some of this is a playing time. Probably a lot of it is a playing time situation, and maybe a portion of it is academic. Bill Self also said in the interview with Andy Katz yesterday that he wants to have 8 starters. And that's a little bit of a different, you know, mentality and philosophy. I mean, you can only start 5, right? But like, he wants to have 8 quality players that could start at any time and get extended minutes in a game, clearly because of the lack of depth that they saw a year ago. So that's a huge role in it, you know,
I think
huge
that's
part of
a
it
part
also.
Of it. But don't you think it's also because they can, because they have sure. that caliber of player? So I think, yes, you know, again, I don't want to only think about next year in terms of what happened last year, because last year everything went wrong for them. So you still want Bill Self to sort of stick to his plan. Bill Self, the best KU teams have always been 7-8 man rotations of meaningful minutes for those guys. I mean, they just have, right? The most recent national championship, Remy Martin was coming off the bench, basically. So And you know, KJ Adams was contributing. Like, they need those players. They need eight starters, basically. When you've got the experience coming back that they have, you need eight starters. You would like for Hunter Dickinson to be able to get some rest, for KJ Adams to not have to. Could you imagine KJ Adams if instead of, you know, 30 minutes, he gave you 24 absolute 100% energy minutes? Dwan Harris isn't coming off the floor. We know that. But, you know, there's plenty of room for other guys to come in and be explosive and run and never be tired, and you don't have to worry about these things. They're still going to have to have guys shoot the ball well. That's the one thing I don't know about this team still, Tommy, is how well are they going to be able to shoot the three?
Well, I think they're going to shoot it a lot better than they did a year ago, that's for sure.
But that wasn't even close to enough, right? Yeah, it might be better than it was a year ago.
But think of the three guys that they brought in. I mean, all three of them, and I'm talking about the top-tier transfers that committed, all of them historically have been good shooters to great shooters, like in the case of Zeke Mayo, has been a great shooter. And outside of Zeke Mayo, the other two come from really top-tier, big-level programs and shot the ball well. That was the thing about Nick Timberlake, was that he had the stats to back up that he was a great perimeter shooter, but he came from a program like Towson. And so, not that it's not a knock on Towson, but just the caliber of the opponents and things like that, not quite playing in a Power 5 level. So, I mean, I think that there was a little bit, I think we got a little bit, you know, there were too high of expectations for what Timberlake could actually do. I think that we over-quantified the impact that Timberlake would have a season ago. But a guy like Rylan Griffin coming from Alabama, that's top tier. AJ Storr coming from Wisconsin, that's top tier. So I do think that you can bake that in a little bit. And I'm just going to say right now, I've got no doubt in my mind that both of those guys, the way that they shoot the basketball, and even Zeke Mayo to an extent, that will translate well to what Kansas is doing.
Well, I do want to point out that Storr was not a great three-point shooter last year. He was a great three-point shooter at St. John's, but only took about three a game. Last year at Wisconsin, just all the way down to a 32% shooter, and it's not a volume shooter. I think it's in his arsenal, but I wouldn't say that he's going to be a three-point shooter. Zeke Mayo certainly is, around 40% on a higher volume again last year. Zeke Mayo took almost seven threes a game last year. So Mayo for sure is there. And then Griffin, yeah, Griffin, that's a big part of his game. That's a big part of his game that really developed last year, Tommy. He became a 40% shooter on almost five a game. So you're looking at Griffin and Mayo, yes, right? I don't know that they're going to use Storr that way. It's in the tank, maybe not. And maybe you get enough between Mayo and Griffin at the two, mm-hmm. right? Because Dwan Harris is not coming off the floor. So you've got those guys at the two, sort of interchangeable, I guess. And here's the other reason why you think about it as eight starters. If you're just talking about those three with the three big returners they have, that's six, right? And you see, like I do anyway, I see significant minutes for all six of those players. You have to. You have to see that. And then you have the other, you know, the two sophomores. Is it how many freshmen are left now? Two?
Two. Yeah, you've got Flory Badunga.
So you have those.
And you have Rakese Passmore. Those two guys are still committed to KU.
So you have those four collective, right, that, you know, at least one of them is going to step it up, probably a couple. And then now if Kugel goes somewhere, and I would say much better than 50-50 chance he's playing not in Kansas next year, or at least not at KU anyway, then it frees up. They do need another big. And maybe it's Clements, you know, as Ken points out that, you know, he could come back. I think they need another big, Tommy. Just and it doesn't have to be like earth shattering. It kind of like what they did with Brown last year. I mean, you gotta have somebody. You gotta have somebody there. One of the freshmen is a big, right? Or
yeah,
big-ish. Yeah,
Flory Badunga is
how
a big.
How big is he? How big? Like center big or
Yeah, I'm looking up his stats right now.
That may help you out too.
Was the top ranked center in the class. When he committed last August to the
Jayhawks. So that may be enough there. You know, that may be enough of a rotation with Clements, Badunga, and then Adams and Dickinson. Because now, the other thing
I will
is
say,
the other.
I mean, he's the number one center in the freshman class. He's not huge. I mean, he's 6'9". He's a 6'9" center.
He's KJ Adams.
Yes,
probably.
Yep.
AJ Storr is 6'7". Okay, so if AJ Storr needed to play that power forward, they're probably not going to play that way. But you know what I mean. He can also do that. So really, you've got a rotation down low, potentially, of Storr, of Dickinson, of Adams, of Clements, of Badunga. That's probably fine. They're probably okay there. I don't think they're going to go out and get another high profile player. I really don't. I also think there's a good likelihood, Tommy, that they eat that other scholarship punishment, don't you? Just go ahead and eat it this year. I think they have the liberty and the luxury of doing that. And the reason I say that is next year, you can't bring back Dickinson and Harris, at least. You're gonna lose those players. You're going to lose those significant minutes. I'd rather have the extra scholarship next year and take the L on it this year, if I'm Bill Self.
Yeah, I think it depends upon, you know, what's out there and what's open for you, you know, remaining. I mean, if there's an opportunity.
Let's say Kugel leaves. Well, let's say Kugel leaves. Do you think KU has enough today?
Enough for what? Enough to win a national championship?
Enough for next season. Yes. They're going to be the preseason number one now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing they are. I think the only thing that concerns me a little bit is they'd be pretty top heavy. The one thing that I liked about Kugel being on that staff or being on that team is they would that provides more depth and somebody capable of coming off the bench and having that level of trust. If you've got, you know, somebody in foul trouble, or if you've got, you know, injuries or things like that, you've got the team in capable hands at that point. So I think they've got enough. They would be top heavy. I don't think that even if Kugel doesn't show up to Lawrence, if the opportunity presents itself for Bill Self to have another transfer that can be an impact depth piece off the bench, I think you would take that. I don't think that you would just say, "No, I'm going to pass on that," and we'll
still
just bank
have
the
it
scholarship.
Kugel,
you know,
if Kugel doesn't come, then they would have that and they'll use it.
Sure,
but you don't. But it's the Furphy scholarship you can just sort of leave alone, right?
Yeah.
Right? If I have the numbers correctly, his you can just leave out there. Now, if he returned, obviously you'd take him. But if he doesn't, then you just eat that scholarship. If Kugel doesn't come, it allows Bill Self to be a little more precise in exactly what he thinks this roster needs. I just think with Griffin and Storr and Mayo and the three of the four young players, then not including Badunga, I just don't know where Kugel's going to get minutes. I don't. And I think the best thing for Kugel would be to go elsewhere now. I think he's been pushed further and further down the roster. And if you're leaving Florida as a 10-point-a-game player, you've still got a ton of eligibility. I just wonder, like, if you're Bill Self, you certainly don't want to see him leave and then go to K-State, right? Like, you said, like, there's some risk there, too. But I feel like Bill Self's doing him a solid when he goes out publicly and brings that up. Partly doing him a solid and partly just kind of the elephant in the room is it's probably not going to be the best situation for him to come here now. And, you know, that is an unfortunate part of, you know, all of this with the transfer portal is – you kind of get pushed out, but at least it's happening now where, you know, Self can, in all likelihood, help him get somewhere else where he will have a better opportunity. Because that's, you know, why players love Bill Self is because he's always been very pro-player in that sense. But interesting comments. I think it was the Andy Katz. You can go find those if you'd like. But check it out as we, you know, look again to another season. KU's going to be the preseason number one this year. I mean, they're number one in every preseason thing I've seen, with Houston right behind them. Big 12 basketball is going to be incredible next year with Arizona joining into the mix and all the other teams. So it's time to get excited there. We'll see. K-State needs to make that other move they're going to make. They need to add a little beef to the roster there. They're a little light, I think. And, of course, we are continuing to watch Wichita State in the transfer portal.
Well, and hey,
well.
Real quick on Kansas State, and we haven't talked about it. I mean, there were two big targets that Jerome Tang was going after that over the weekend committed elsewhere. And they were, you know, I think potential impact players for the Wildcats. And so, yeah, I mean, I would agree, a little light right now. There are still a ton of players that are out there and available.
There are.
They'll be okay, I think, as far as filling those holes. But those were, I mean, Khalif Battle was one of them that I think would have been an impact player, you know, for sure. So they missed out on kind of the two top targets that they were going after.
I'm more worried that Ames and Kaluma are not going to be there, two guys I thought would be there, right? They don't have much right now. I mean, they don't.
McDaniel, I mean, that's probably the hopes and dreams of the Wildcats.
And a good incoming class. They got a good incoming class of young players.
You know,
yeah. Castillo's coming in. They still have, but Ames was one of those young players you thought was going to be a part of the mix. They need some dudes right now. They do. They got work to do. And there's time. Of course there's time. And they have plenty of opportunities to do it. You still got to do it. Wichita State's in the same boat. We'll continue to watch both of them as well. All right, when we come back, a little NFL quarterback talk. We'll hit on two stories that are out there this morning. Kirk Cousins, did he make the right decision to go to Atlanta? Well, obviously hindsight now with the Penix pick, but wait till you hear what one publication is reporting is one of the reasons he decided to leave Minnesota. Makes it maybe even worse. And then Shedeur Sanders, I don't know if you've come around on this, Tommy. We've disagreed on his status for a while, but I mean, he's going to be the top quarterback taken. And some evaluators think he would have been this year. That might be a little rich for me, but we'll get into that as well as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Stick with us, everybody. The IHOP hotline is open for you. And again, it's brought to you by IHOP. You can visit IHOP and try the new IF movie-inspired menu flavors like Blues Dazzleberry Pancakes. Think about that during the break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. Thanks for tuning in, watching the video stream. Lots of good comments there. A lot of those coming in on the YouTube stream, so you can see those. You can also leave us your comments on Facebook that we see, tweets, whatever you want to do. We appreciate it. You can also call on the IHOP hotline. Good old-fashioned way, 869-1240. It is open today for you. Let's talk about a couple of stories in the NFL, Tommy, this morning. It was Sports Illustrated reporting that one of the reasons, and money was a factor here, but one of the reasons that Kirk Cousins chose to go to Atlanta from Minnesota is because Minnesota was open about, you know, trying to look at quarterback also in the draft. And then, of course, you know, history shows us that Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, gets paid, and then Atlanta is the team that also is aggressive at quarterback in the draft. So, I'm not trying to say I feel bad for Kirk Cousins. He got just gobs of guaranteed money. He'll be fine. But it is sort of interesting that he kind of got, you know, he didn't get screwed. Atlanta picked the player that they liked. There's nothing wrong with what Atlanta did. I don't know if it was the right decision, but there's nothing wrong with making the decision strategically, in my opinion. But what a weird offseason for Kirk Cousins, who was probably, I mean, Tommy, had he stayed healthy last year, he's probably going to win the MVP. So he leaves Minnesota, where he has Justin Jefferson and, you know, all these great young weapons. Goes to Atlanta, which is still a pretty good, you know, situation offensively, but not as good as it was in Minnesota. And then the same thing happens to him there that he was trying to avoid anyway. I think I've thought forever Kirk Cousins should have stayed in Minnesota. I really think it now. He will make Atlanta better. I don't think Atlanta is going to be better than Minnesota would have been with Kirk Cousins. He was going to win the MVP last year if he stayed healthy.
Yeah, but on the surface of it, you can definitely look at that story and say, oh, he should have stayed in Minnesota. And, you know, it's too bad that the fact that, you know, they told him that they were going to look at quarterback, made him leave, and then the Falcons ended up taking a quarterback in the draft and he was blindsided. Yeah, on the surface, like, that's a really good story and all of that. But if you dig in a little bit deeper, a big reason was that Minnesota, they were not willing to guarantee any more than 1 year of a salary for Kirk Cousins. I think
the money was the biggest factor.
But had they gone to 2 years guaranteed contract, then at that point I think he probably would have stayed with Minnesota. But I think he figured that, okay, you know, they draft a quarterback, or even if they don't, more than likely I'm probably going to be on the move after 1 year. And so I think because of the lack of guaranteed years on the contract, I don't even know if it's necessarily guaranteed money as it is more of like guaranteed years on the contract. It was basically only one that the Vikings were willing to do. And so he was able to go to Atlanta. They guaranteed him more years. Like he got 2 years guaranteed, more guaranteed money, all of that. And yeah, I think one way or another, you know, stay in Minnesota, they still probably would have drafted J.J. McCarthy, knowing that he probably would have been.
If the draft fell the way it did, they absolutely would
have. He probably would have been on the move after next year. And then, you know, we would have been doing this all over again. So I think one way or another, it was going to end up, there was going to be a quarterback, you know, breathing down his neck. And at least in Atlanta, he's getting more guaranteed years and more guaranteed money.
And Atlanta's a good situation. Don't get it wrong. Like, I like some of the weapons Atlanta has. It'd have been nice if they had a receiver at that spot they drafted Penix, obviously, because they could have had, right? They could have had Rome Odunze there to go with Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson, and you really like that then, that makeup. But they got Darnell Mooney, I think, in there now with Kirk Cousins, which should be a pretty good fit. He's an underrated player, I think, a little bit. I'm going to stick with my bold prediction on Kirk Cousins, Tommy. He'll be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys either next year or the year after that. I think it's going to happen. He'll be without a spot. They'll be ready to go to Penix. Dallas will be ready to move on from Dak because this isn't going anywhere, and it'll just make too much sense. That's my prediction for you. I made it a while ago. I'm sticking with it. I think Kirk Cousins, before he's done, injuries aside, will be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. It's coming. It's coming for you. All right, listen, the other quarterback situation I want to talk about is Shedeur Sanders. I said this a while back that I think he is going to be in the mix to be, well, when we first started these conversations, we were talking about first round pick, Tommy, first round pick. But I mean, he is flying up the draft boards here.
He is. And do I think that overall, you know, he's going to end up being the top quarterback in the draft next year, or, you know, gosh, maybe even the number one overall pick? Yeah, I mean, maybe so. And it certainly is trending that way. Do I think that it's likely that he will pan out to be that long-term in his NFL career? I don't. I'm not a huge Shedeur Sanders believer. I don't think, it's not that I don't think he's going to be a viable pro, because I think he probably will be. I'm just not sure that, from what I've seen so far, that all of the hype is worth that. I mean, I think that we're kind of in a situation now where there's been, I don't want to call it overhyping of Shedeur Sanders, but, you know, I certainly think that we're in a position where he's gotten all this attention because of the program that he's in, who his dad is, all of that. And again, I mean, I think that he will be, I think he'll be a good pro quarterback. And he may even very well be the number one draft pick next year, the top quarterback or whatever. I'm just not sure. I think it's a little bit overhyped at this point.
So it was in the Washington Post had a longtime NFL evaluator say that, quote, he was quarterback one for me if he came out this year. You're going to have to manage him a little differently. This person said Deion's going to be heavily involved. You have to be prepared to deal with that blank. But I love watching him play as a born winner. So when this all started for me, like I just watching Colorado when they were sort of humming and, you know, the offensive line wasn't as bad as it was and they were healthy. Like when I watched him play, I'm like, dang, like he is good. Right. Cause I didn't know. I didn't watch him at Jackson State. I'm like, this Shedeur is the real deal, man. He hangs in there. He's tough. He can make the throws. I think he is I said first round pick. And people were like, what? No, they lost all these games. And I'm like, yeah, but he's really good. They had a bad roster. Now we're getting into the conversation where I think he'll be the first quarterback taken for sure, which typically falls, and I think he may be the top overall pick. I don't think it's crazy, and I think he does fit the profile. Do I think I would take him over Caleb Williams? No, I don't think so. Jaden Daniels, boy, it would be close for me at that point. And I think, you know, because I've had a hard time with Daniels, McCarthy, and Penix anyway. I don't have Drake May that high, but I think he'd be up there. I do. I think he's good. And I hope that they at least get the line solved so he can not just run for his life all year long. But what that did show me last year is that he's a tough kid and he's a tough player because he got rocked last year behind that terrible offensive line, and he hung in there and stuck with it and did a really nice job, I thought.
Like I said, I think that he is going to be good, but I do think that we're in a world of overhype because of who he is and because of the attention that he gets. Doesn't mean that he won't be good, but I think people are ready to crown him and, you know, make him this future Hall of Fame championship-winning quarterback. And I don't see it yet. Maybe I will at some point. Maybe down the road I might. I just don't see it quite right now. You know, I heard a comparison the other day, and this might be a little harsh, but I do understand the similarities in the comparison. Somebody compared Deion Sanders and his boys to LeVar Ball and his boys.
Oh, come on.
I heard that comparison. The difference is, no. Like, Deion knows what he's doing because he was a professional.
The difference is
and he's
Deion's
a coach
a
and,
Hall
and
of
all
Famer
of that, right?
Like, and a Big 12
you know,
football
And LeVar
coach.
Is just a loudmouth. But there are, I mean, come on. Like, there are some comparisons
no,
there.
I don't
there absolutely
just only
is.
That he's No, only that he's in the public eye. But you want to talk about credibility? No. I mean, I don't even think it's close. Deion's a Hall of Fame player.
Okay, but let me bring this up then. Do you think, because I believe this, that the level of hype that surrounds Shedeur Sanders is not unlike the level of hype that we had when it came to Lonzo Ball. And not that Lonzo Ball wasn't a bad basketball player. I mean, he clearly played, he had a good college career, like all of that. But the amount of hype around both of those guys, that is comparable, I would say.
I think the Ball kids were appropriately hyped and for the most part, injury aside, have lived up to that in their NBA careers, I think. Here's what I would point out, because I know that's going to be everybody's concern, but how has and I understand that Deion is more again
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Public facing and in the public eye more. But I don't know what that has anything to do with Shedeur. But has it hurt Bobby Witt Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., Patrick Mahomes, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Like, all of these second-generation athletes, Jackson Holiday, like, all of these guys, Bo Bichette, all of them, Kevin Biggio, like, they're all thriving right now with pro athlete dads that probably maybe not as public facing with it, but were very involved behind the scenes with what was happening with their kids, right? I don't believe for one second that these kids' dads who were in the big leagues were not very much pulling levers behind the scenes to get what they wanted. They're just not as public facing with it as Dion is because he wears it all on his sleeve. So I don't think that's a detriment. I think there are far, far more success stories for second generation athletes like this than there are stories of failure because you're so much better prepared for all everything that comes with it because you lived it with your dad and your dad can tell you what it's like. I think they're more inclined for success. I think it's a plus that Shedeur Sanders' dad is a Hall of Fame football player because he kind of understands now everything that goes. I mean, he clearly already, Tommy, understands in the NIL space how to market himself effectively, right? He knocks that out of the park as far as engagement and all that stuff that's going to make him money. I think this stuff all helps him as a player. For me, it's all just about, as a player, is he good enough? Man, I think he is based on, you know, when they were healthy and he got a little time, I thought he was outstanding last year. I couldn't believe how good he was. I had no idea he was that good until I watched them play early in the year. And I'm like, man, he's making all the throws. He's getting rocked and gets right back up. Like all the things that you like about a college quarterback, he had it all.
So why didn't he enter the draft for this year? Like why did he decide to come back to Colorado?
Could have been a business decision, right? It was a quarterback rich draft. And maybe instead of the, you know, top one or two quarterbacks, maybe he is the sixth quarterback taken. And then it becomes a business decision at that point. I mean, I think that's within the realm of possibility. He was draft eligible?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got Hunter coming back. Because a couple of reasons. A, money's not a factor for him, right? His dad's Deion Sanders. He's making tons of money in the NIL space. So I don't think it had to be a money decision in that way. But, you know, you come back, he's going to have a chance to win a Heisman. What are the Heisman odds right now? Anybody higher than him? Because I bet they're not. Let's take a look at some Heisman odds.
I'd be shocked. I would be shocked if
Quinn Ewers is probably, yeah, Quinn Ewers is a little higher.
Okay.
Carson Beck is higher. Will Howard's actually up there. Where is Shedeur Sanders? Oh, hang on a minute. We may need to make a live bet on the air here. If he's really not in the top five, Jalen Milroe's up there.
But don't you think even if the odds are
the problem is they're going to not win enough.
Yeah. That's, I mean, who's around him, you know, and that's been the big story with Colorado is just the mass exodus of players out. Dylan Edwards, obviously one of them that we've talked about here close to home, but, I think that's going to be a big key to it as well. I mean, I don't know if there will be, I think I can be fairly confident in saying this. I don't know if there will be
35-1 right now.
I don't know if there will be another quarterback as good as Shedeur Sanders on a team that is as bad as Colorado probably will be this coming year.
Colorado's got a chance to be good enough, I think. I know they've had a mass exodus, but they also had a mass influx at the same time. And Travis Hunter's going to be a Heisman candidate as a two-way player. He's 35-1, which, by the way, is the same as Jalen Daniels.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv.
Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I haven't even looked at Heisman, and now I want to look at Avery Johnson. Arch Manning is 150-1. I don't even see Avery Johnson yet on the list. Hang on now. We got a bet to make here. How about Will Howard up there high on the list? That's kind of cool, right? We got to make an Avery Johnson bet. We got to make an Avery Johnson bet, a Shedeur Sanders bet. Maybe should we get Jalen Daniels in there? Probably at this point, I think we should need to. I don't see Avery Johnson on this list. Does that surprise you, Tommy?
Well, no, because I think that there's still some unprovenness from him as far as having that role all to himself because of just kind of the back and forth between him and Will Howard from a year ago. This will really be the first time that Will have seen Avery Johnson have full control of that offense. And, you know, I think that, of course, as the year goes on, you're going to see those odds, you know, start to increase and, you know, him fly up that list. But no, as of right now, that doesn't particularly surprise me.
I'm missing him. He's got to be on here because I'm okay. I missed him. He's 25-1. He's better than all that. I was like, this is nuts. Like, I would much rather take a flyer on Avery Johnson as a Heisman winner than Jalen Daniels.
But I do think
I'm
that
trying to say he's better, but
even at 25-1,
there's the injury risk.
Even at 25-1, I do think that as the season progresses, you're probably going to see him, you know, climb that list.
You will, because we think Kansas State and Kansas. Mm-hmm. I think Jalen Daniels will be in the same boat if he's healthy, which is his big risk, obviously. Those two teams are going to be good enough that the quarterbacks are naturally in there, and now you've got these dual-threat quarterbacks and offenses that both look, right now, pretty good. Yeah, so you've got... All right, so here's what we've got. Avery Johnson at 25-1, Jalen Daniels at 35-1, Shedeur Sanders at 35-1. I'm okay with all three of those. If you're telling me that Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck are the favorites right now, I think all three of those quarterbacks are better than those guys. So now they may not have the kind of seasons, right, because of where those guys play, but just player to player, I'd take the others.
I'm okay with
those in.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
We'll get those bets in. Those won't stay that low. Anyway, back to the point of the conversation on Shedeur Sanders. I think he's good enough. I think he's going to be a good pro quarterback. I love his game. I think if I had to rank it with the quarterbacks that we just saw as far as NFL type players, I might go Caleb Wilson 1, Shedeur Sanders 2. Maybe.
Like as of right now?
As if he was in this last draft class. Mm. I like Jaden Daniels. Don't get me wrong. I just have such an injury fear with him because he's going to run a lot. And that's it, really. That's about the only thing that worries me there is Anthony Richardson last year. Or the quarterbacks that like to run a ton get hurt. And so, you know, Shedeur Sanders, who to me profiles far more as a pocket passer, kind of like Caleb Williams does, I think I'd rather have one of those guys. And I do like J.J. McCarthy. But I think I might put Shedeur right behind Caleb Williams if we were to enter him into that draft class. I don't think he would have been drafted that way. I don't think he would have been drafted that way. Don't get me wrong. I think he would have probably been he probably would have gone between McCarthy and Penix, maybe. If not, certainly between Penix and Bo Nix. We're taking Shedeur Sanders over Bo Nix. Let's be real here.
Can we see him play this year? You know, before yeah. we start.
I saw him
to
play last
him?
Year, though.
I understand.
I'm not crowning
that.
Him anything.
I understand. I mean, I understand that he had flashes, and I'm not saying that he's going to be a bad quarterback. Like, he's a fine quarterback. I just think that the hype train around Shedeur Sanders right now is a little over the top.
Which part of his game did you not like?
It's not about not liking any of his game. I think he's a fine quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he'll be a good pro. But come on, like being the top quarterback right now, like in next year's draft class, let's see how he plays this year. And then at that point, I'll be willing to say like, okay, yeah, he's the best quarterback that's out there. But like there are a lot of other quarterbacks that are
70% completion last year, 27 touchdowns. How many interceptions do you think Shedeur Sanders threw last year?
He didn't throw
on that
many.
Terrible team.
He didn't throw many.
Three.
Yeah. He didn't
Three.
Throw many.
He's got it all. He's got it all. He played on a bad team. That's it. That's the only thing that held him back. I mean, he played on a bad team. I don't know. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I hate holding. He doesn't run much either, by the way, which is, to me, not a bad thing. I don't know why we, but him as a player, like, how good was Drake May last year? You know what I mean? Like, so what that he played for a bad team? My eyes tell me he's good, and I hope that, I hope they're good for about 1,000 reasons this year, but I would have probably taken him too. Count me in on the hype train there. I'm going to go put my Heisman bets in right now during the break. We'll be back with more Sports Daily.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily on a Tuesday. Glad to be with you. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, for watching on the video stream. Rick says Avery Johnson's not even the best quarterback in Kansas. I'm guessing Rick is a KU fan. Who are you taking, Tommy? Avery Johnson or Jalen Daniels? Let's just say that Jalen Daniels is fully healthy.
Yeah,
all year.
You're going to get me in trouble with this. I love Avery Johnson. Love everything that Avery Johnson brings. High ceiling kind of guy, dual threat. I mean, everything we know about Avery Johnson. When healthy, Jalen Daniels is proven. And so simply because there's more, I think, proof when he's healthy, Jalen Daniels probably has more upside. That being said, Jalen Daniels has had quite a few injuries in the last couple of years where we haven't seen that from Avery Johnson. So I understand, like, if you're going to bring in injuries as part of that conversation, then it's probably
an easy
Avery
answer.
Johnson.
Yeah, it's for sure Avery Johnson. I actually think the opposite. I think Avery Johnson has the higher ceiling, but if we're considering, if we say Jalen Daniels is healthy, I think he has a higher floor, probably. But I don't think there is a ceiling that could appropriately be there on Avery Johnson.
Because I don't think we've seen enough from Avery Johnson.
Well,
we saw some last
year.
But when the team is his, I don't know if we've seen enough.
We saw him as a runner last year. But I'm telling you, my eyes have never seen a more gifted thrower at the high school level of the football. And I do think people forget, as a thrower, he went to all the, you know, the Trent Dilfer Elite 11 camps. And he was the guy that everyone came away with, like, holy crap, who is this kid? Like, he's that guy. And he can run like we saw him run last year. I think the ceiling on him is you know, by college terms, like, it's limitless for what he can do because he can do both things so well. Jalen Daniels, I think we've kind of seen the ceiling, and that ceiling is Heisman good, right? We know what it is. It's already there. It's his floor that if he's healthy, I think that you love about Jalen Daniels. I just hope he's healthy. And by the way, we're having fun with this because Rick brought it up. I literally just put Heisman bets on both of them. I think that they will be potentially massive reasons why if we end up having this college football season in the state of Kansas that could be as good as it's ever been, it'll largely be because those two guys are healthy on the field and, you know, and playing well. But you're talking about a season, realistically, that if those two quarterbacks stay healthy, Tommy, we could see two Kansas teams in this new expanded playoff. There is a great chance that the top two teams in the Big 12 both get into the expanded playoff, and there is a great chance that the top two teams in the Big 12 are Kansas and Kansas State.
Well, shoot, I'm willing to say right now that I think it's probably, assuming injuries and health, if everybody stays healthy, I think it's probably more likely than not that we would see both Kansas and Kansas State representing the Big 12 in the new expanded playoff. I mean, think of the other teams that...
You think they'll be picked 1 and 2?
Yeah, think about the other teams that are in the conference for next year and who the main competitors are going to be now that Texas and OU are on their way out. You know, even the incoming schools in the Big 12 have had quite a bit of transition. You know, I don't think Colorado is... I mean, they're not going to be there. Arizona was a really talented team, and then Jed Fish left. You know, and so he's not there anymore, so there's going to be, you know, transition there for sure. Utah is maybe the biggest bet out of the incoming schools. in the Big 12. But really, other than that, you're looking at what? Oklahoma State, probably. You're looking at Texas Tech, potentially. Iowa State, maybe. But I think it's probably Kansas and Kansas State are, you know, the one and two.
I think it will be two. I do. By the time the dust settles, I think that's what we'll get. By the way, Kansas State to make the playoff right now, just to make the playoff, only plus 250. Kansas, only plus 550. Those aren't even long enough odds for me to tell you what Vegas is thinking about those two teams. I don't mind
the Kansas bet. The odds are a little bit longer on that one. You can make a decent amount of money if you bet Kansas. I do like those odds.
Right now, Utah is the only other team. Utah's with K-State at 3.5 to 1 to win the Big 12. Next is Kansas. So odds-wise, those are two of the top three, with Utah the other team in the mix. And I won't pretend to know everything about Utah right now, but it's going to be there. And just wait. The hype train, the conference, you know, preseason stuff happening in Vegas. Like, come on now. It's going to be an awesome college football year. Cannot wait for it. We didn't get to Shohei Ohtani. All we were really going to tell you is he's awesome. Good luck to everybody else in Heisman.
Enjoy
he's just
all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code BUZZER and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's code BUZZER. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.